Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Let's get into the Word of God today. I think the Lord's got something to say to us, and I believe it's going to be important. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 25, verses 29 through 34, and then we're going to go and pick up a few verses in chapter 27, 30 through 40. And you're going to find some things here, I think, that will challenge your life on the whole idea of our destiny can be changed if we choose to make a bad decision. Picking it up at verse 29. Now, Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary.
And Esau said,
but Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. And Jacob said, swear to me as this day. And he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Now we're going to go on to chapter 27, verses 30 through 40. And you're going to see how this story ends. Now it happened as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, that Jacob had scarcely gone out of his presence of Isaac, his father, then Esau, his brother, came from his hunting. And his father Isaac said to him, who are you? And so he said, I'm your son, your firstborn, Esau. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with exceedingly a great and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me also, O my father. And Esau said, is it not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and look, he has taken away my blessing. And he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? And Esau said to his father, have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me also, my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Verse 4 together. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother, and it shall come to pass, when you have become restless, then you shall break his yoke from your neck. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, this morning with a story as sad as this one, Lord, I just wanted to take the time to develop this. And so I'm not going to rush through this, but God, today there's something we need to learn about one bad decision affecting our destiny. Lord, today I hope that the Holy Spirit would examine our hearts, not to make us feel badly, but to bring us to a place of reckoning of some of the most valuable things in a moment of desperation we thought we've thrown it away. But Lord, we know the grace that's within you and the power of the Holy Spirit can renew to us hope, for there is no hope. And Lord, I pray for the person that's furthest from you. I pray for the person that feels like they've just blown it for good, that, Lord, today your gift of the Holy Spirit would come to them today and would rescue them and repurpose them for your purpose that was in the beginning. Holy Spirit, be with us, guide us, and direct us, and we'll give you all the glory and the honor and the praise, for we ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus, and all God's people said. Amen. You may be seated. Well, for those of you who have minimal knowledge about the Bible, the Old Testament patriarchs, it would be easy to react negatively if you heard someone that was using the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. You said, what? It was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But you know what? It was intended to be Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. But somebody made a decision and it wasn't. I want you to look back over your life, over things, decisions that you've made that have altered your history. Could I say forever? In a very simply put, that Esau put up his patriarchal status at the time that many of us would riddle him with shame and disdain for his inability to grasp the reality of the consequences of being able to manage his desire for instant gratification for a price that was absolutely insane. John Greenleaf penned the word, "For the sad words of tongue and pen, the saddest are these, it might have been." What are the things you look over your life, they say, it might have been different if I had of or if I had not of? Reflection upon a bad decision can only leave us with the question of wondering what the outcome would have been if we were able to conquer the desire to overcome the urge or desire to have or experience something without truly counting the cost. Again, it's going to be hard for me to go in and out of this telling you what happened, because I know what the devil's like. He'll put guilt on you and say that it's over. Nothing can be redeemed. I want you to know there's a redeemer that can take the worst decision you've ever made, and he can take the Holy Spirit and he can turn it into something beautiful, but you've got to admit that it was wrong. And I'm going to show you how to do it. Well, here's my question. Are you living with a decision that you regret that seems to have impacted your life forever? And some of you are in the dungeon of despair, and you basically say, well, I don't know how I can turn this situation around. You know the old saying that people used to say, you made your bed, lie in it. Really? But kind of that's how we feel. Well, what about this? Do you believe that your decisions as a believer are in alignment with the design and purpose of the Holy Spirit for your life? Now, that's a direct question to all of us. The decisions that you're making right now, are they in alignment with the Holy Spirit, or is it just kind of hit and miss, and you just kind of, that wasn't so bad, and you're just kind of playing ping pong with reality? What about this? Have you come to the realization that regret and repentance are not the same thing? Whoa. To repent is a whole different story. Well, making permanent decisions over temporary circumstances, we'll go back to Genesis 25, verse 29, and it says this. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. So what is your excuse for your last sin? I was tired. And I didn't really mean to do it, but I was tired. I just wasn't on my best game. Okay. That's a possibility. But look at it from this standpoint. Jacob and Esau, they're fraternal twins, and Jacob identified, and here's some outlines of the family dynamics that will help you. Family dynamics will affect our choices and preferences. I want to go to the place where some of you are blaming your mom or your dad. Well, I'm just like my dad. He's kind of impetuous. Or my mom, she just never could make up her mind, so that's kind of the reason why I do the way I do them. It won't work. Because this whole story, his whole life history, is riddled with the same excuses that you could use. Think of it this way. You know, Jacob identified with his mother and Esau with his father. So that's already in place. They're twins, but it looks like they're not identical twins, but they're fraternal twins. And Esau had a birthright of his inheritance, being that he was the first child born. So Esau had everything going his way. There's nothing he had to do to claim his birthright. He got it through birth. Now, there's some things that you were given that at the time you were born, let's be honest, you don't deserve it. Some of you are good looking, and we're trying to get to you. We spend all kind of time to fix ourselves up, and you just stuff like that. Yeah, I am. But behind that beauty is a train wreck. So if you're counting on your beauty to get you all the places you need to go, you are missing it terribly. So Esau was willing to trade his soul for a moment of fleeting pleasure. In other words, it was more than a bowl of stew that caused him to sell his birthright. You're saying, well, you can't blame him for that. Man, dude's been out there hunting all day long, and he's famished, and, you know, and all of a sudden, well, I mean, you know, everybody's made a bad decision before. Stop it. When your life is so far out of control that you're willing to risk your future at that particular point, it's not about the stew, it's about you. What does that mean? That Esau lived his life for the things that would satisfy him in the moment. And so what he is doing is characteristic of the way he lived his life, but this time it really wreaked on his life. And some of you live on the edge. And, you know, on the edge of disaster. But someday it's not going to work. What about this? The present culture has driven men and women to fixate on the moment via constant contact with their phone and the internet. Some of you, and I would say some of us, but at this particular point, I'm not that addicted to my phone. It is serving me well. I will not update it because it's too expensive. I don't care about it. All it is a device. But some of you cannot sit in this. As a matter of fact, you have been here probably about an hour, and you've checked your phone at least two or three times. It didn't ring, but just in case. Someone might be trying to get a hold of me. There might be a flash news report that I got to get. We're addicted to the moment. And all the things that would be grandiose about being able to hit the internet and find out information has got you into a particular place of being that really isn't that great. Well, Esau did not weigh out the difference between school and life. I want you to listen carefully to this analogy here. I think this will help a lot of us. In school, you are taught a lesson and given a test. Make sense? Taught a lesson. I tell you, Friday, we're going to have a test on such and such and such and such. But you're taught something, and then you're tested on what you know. What about this? In life, we're given a test that teaches you a lesson. But some of the lessons you learn may be too costly. What about this? Tests that you are given in life will cause you to discover the things that you really value as being important. Because at the moment, Esau thought he made a good decision. That birthright, years from now, I don't care about that. Right now, I am hungry. And all of a sudden, his future went out the window. I don't want to condemn anybody because I've done it too. I've either made a decision or said something I wish I'd never said, not thinking about how it's going to impact my future. And then after it's out there, it's out there. Wow. God's going to encourage you because here's what happens. Esau selling his birthright was not as impulsive as it appears, because some of you are like, oh, well, you know, the guy made a bad decision. He came in out of there, he's feeling kind of hungry, and, you know, it's just really kind of stupid, other type of thing. Oh, no. I'll tell you what. As much as you want to think is one stupid decision has ruined your whole life, there's a series that led up to the big one. Come on, be honest. If you got away with something before, all of a sudden, oh, that was cool. Hey, let's try that again, okay. And you do it again until you get to the big one. Some of you have been trained in unrighteousness. But here's Jacob. Jacob is an opportunist, and he's kind of studying his brother. He says, oh, I'm going to get him. I know how it's going to be. It may not be tomorrow, may not be next week, but there's going to be an opportunity to come along. And I was just going to let me surmise this in my mind. That morning, Jacob says, this is the day. He's going to go out. He's going to go hunting for this particular thing. So by the what he's saying, he says, I'm going to get in there. I'm going to get the recipe from mom. I'm going to make a stew, and as soon as he comes in, I'm going to throw it in front of him. You say, oh, come on. You don't think the devil does that to you? Oh, he knows your weakness. So what does that mean? That Esau carried himself in a way that it was apparent that his birthright was not important to him. How could it not be? Well, Esau was programmed and driven by his feelings and senses for the moment. His lifestyle, the way he governed his life, well, he was an impulsive person. And I want to talk to impulsive people that are here today. That you say, oh, it happened again. It did not happen again. You did it again. Don't talk about it. It doesn't exist. You do. Stop blaming it. It's been beat up on all the time. Watch this. The Word of God says, the enemy of our soul knows the right moment to confront us with the offer that will be difficult for us to refuse. James chapter 1, verse 14. Watch this. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Leave that up there. Drawn away. What does it take to distract you and draw you away? I got to tell this story real quick. The first fight I had with my wife 43 years ago was because I was fixated on a television program. You say, what? And I'll tell you real quickly. I was watching TV in our house, this type of thing. And she came in, she asked me a question. And I was so fixated on that television program, I said something like, that's silly. Maybe I said, that's stupid. I don't know which one of the words. That stupid sounds worse, doesn't it? That's probably what I said. Then all of a sudden, you know, the television program's over and she's nowhere to be found. Oh, yes. It's called go in the bathroom, lock the door trick. And she did. But anyway, so she goes to the bathroom. So about, you know, 20 minutes later, I think that she's been there a long time. So I knock on the door, and there's no response. You know how you women do. I know she's in there. The light's on. I said, no, knock, knock, no response. I knock a little bit louder. My emotions are keying up. And finally, I hear this little faint voice. I said, come over there, what's wrong? And I hear this voice, nothing. I'm supposed to believe that? And so I keep going. This is, and then finally I said, open the door. Open that door right now. In Jesus' name. No, it didn't. Jesus' name wasn't there. It wasn't there. It wasn't there. It was the enemy. I'm going to break this door down. You open that door, I'm coming in. Anyway, and so finally I hear this little faint voice. It's okay. I'll be all right. She had me right where she. It wasn't going to be okay, and it wasn't all right. Let me finish the story by saying we have never, ever experienced a relationship breakdown like that in the next 43 years to follow. Because we dealt with it. And I realized how important it was for me to take ownership for what I did. Because, you know, whether I said that's stupid or not, I'm still controversial. I don't know. But all I know is I was wrong and I got the door slammed and it was time for me to take ownership. Okay, are we good? Good. I feel healed. But I was enticed by my own lust to be right. And being right is not the issue. Well, Esau convinced himself that death was imminent, and he did not get something that he something to eat right away. He figured, I'm going to die if I don't get some food. And then Jacob made the offer to Esau that made a decision that it was the best offer he was going to get, and it was worth the price. Really? And Esau enjoyed every spoonful of a multi-million dollar stew. Because that's really what it was worth. At the time when you get it, you don't realize how much it costs. You just want it. And then they slip you the bill later. Oh, what? It was, how much? Well, hunger, frustration, and loneliness are all the things that will pass with time. Did you know that? Here's something real simple. Remember the story of Jesus and the lady, you know, this woman at the well and blah, blah, blah. They have this exchange as far as that's concerned. I was listening to a preacher the other day, and I went to the Bible to prove it was true. They start in this dialogue about give me a drink of water, and, you know, Jesus offered water that she, you know, she'd never thirst again. Do you realize they got so involved in that conversation? The Bible never says that either one of them took a drink. The real water situation there. And then she ends up leaving him, running into town, bringing everybody. And let me show you a man who's told, or show you a man who's told me all the things I've ever done. All of a sudden, when we refocus on the real issue, what we thought we really needed, we really didn't. I'm praying that God could repurpose your mind and your thought process. Our emotions will convince us that we will not survive without gratifying our flesh. Oh, I'm going to say it. It is 10:30 at night, and you have got to have a peanut butter parfait from Dairy Queen. You will get in your car, half asleep, drive down there to the drive-through window right before they're ready to close. Oh, no, 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 you can't close it. No, 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 no. Hold on. With extra crunchies. You know I'm telling the truth. Distance has nothing to do with it. You want it, and you want it now. I could turn it around to make you really feel guilty. I'm not going to do it right now. Later on, I will. But, you know, while we are grabbing the remote or our car keys, we have allowed ourselves to enter to the zone of seeking gratification from something that we know that is only temporarily filling. If you have a problem with pornography, and a lot of folks in the Christian realm do, I haven't talked about it in probably a while, but you know what? It's too easy. You can get on your phone, get on whatever, and this other type, and nobody ever knows what you're supposed to do, and all of a sudden, dial it up. Nobody will ever know. And then you can push, erase everything. It's your secret. Emotion-driven decisions will override sound wisdom and discipline. Let's go back to Genesis 25, verse 34. It says, and Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank and arose, and he went his way. Thus Esau, everybody read that word. What does it say? What does it mean to despise something? You find no value in it. Let me take it one step further. He hated. Because his birthright was coming in between him and having what he wanted. I want to talk to you about your value system of the things you've exchanged at a time when you thought you had to have it and it didn't work out so well. Well, interestingly enough, the prophecy concerning his destiny took into account his will and fleshly desire in deeming what things were important to him. And verse 25-23 says, and the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. The reason why I put that scripture up there, you say, well, he's just fulfilling prophecy. I mean, God had already known from the beginning, and so I don't think that's the reason why he had the stew. I believe that at that moment he wasn't thinking anything about the prophetic voice. He was thinking about his belly. Oh, I'm just fulfilling prophecy. Give me the stew. Did I get bread with that? Seriously. The Lord knew ahead of time that Esau would not value his position of privilege. And you know something? The opportunities that you think you've blown, you say, oh, what was I thinking? And God gave you the opportunity ahead of time. Because there's something flawed in you, and it's your choice not to do it. Go on a little bit further. The Lord knew that he would be there would be a bonding between Jacob and his mother and Esau and his father. And even the mistakes of the parents cannot be blamed for Esau's decision to sell his birthright. Some of you folks sitting here right now are blaming your mama and your daddy, and you need to stop. They've been dead. Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, deceased. You've been out of their house for 20 years, and you're still stupid. Don't be blaming them. Now, people, I'm parenting. I know I've made my mistakes. There are things I wish I'd done differently. But, you know, the bottom line is that when you become in a particular place where you get to make your own decision, and you go, oh, it's the only way you think I can choose because that's the way Mama taught me. Oh, no, it's not. Leave Mama alone. Leave her alone. Well, the issue is here, that living for instant gratification was a choice that he made in spite of some of the flaws in his parents. His parents' favoritism among the children carried over into the next generation. Did you know that? Jacob had a son named Joseph. And Jacob ruined his family and almost got Joseph killed without God's intervention because he favored his son and made him a coat of many colors. And his brothers hated him. Let me just throw this in here as a word to the wise. God will hold you accountable for your flawed behavior. But it still is an excuse for other people who've been recipients of the things you've said for them to continue on with their wayward behavior. Wait a minute. How does that work? Let me show you. We cannot blame our disobedience to God on the way that our parents treated us. Well, some of you can have a pretty wild case about your parents weren't there for you, or they were drunkards, or they used up all the money and you lived in poverty. I can give a whole litany of excuses. But let's talk about today. Let's talk about you sitting in this room today where God has given you an advantage or an opportunity to go a different way. Stop blaming them. Take the opportunity of the Holy Spirit and get some change working in your life. You can hold on to all the darkness and all the depression and all the other type of stuff, but that's no excuse. God doesn't want you to be bitter. He wants you to be better. And so God wants you to do great things in your life. Well, we shouldn't despise our birthright of blessing because of disobedience of our parents who were not walking with God. If I'd had godly parents, if they'd taken me to Sunday school, I wouldn't be the mess that I am. We got people that graduated from Sunday school that are still out there doing crazy stuff. Know every book of the Bible, know every saint and this type of thing, and they're still out of their minds. It's a choice. Esau really thought that he needed food. What's the thing that you think you need the most right now? Just stop for a moment. I'll give you about 15 seconds. The number one thing that you've reached the top of your list, what is the thing that you need in your life the most? Now, some of you want to, the first thing came up, you want to switch to something different. Go back to the first thing that came to mind, because that's what you really want. Oh, I know money came up there, but I don't really want money. I want a relationship with Jesus. No, you want money. But because you're in here, you're thinking, I got radar, and I read that. And so you changed, you flipped the channel. Honey, I saw money. I saw it. The devil will seek to destroy our desire for righteousness with hunger for things of the world. What about this? We often will pursue the things of the world only to discover the loss of what we truly need. Talk to you about what you really want. I want to shift gears and ask you this question. What is the thing that you need the most from God right now? It's going to be different for many people. But I want you to focus in on that for the next few moments. I'm kind of changing things around here to accommodate this. I'm going to make this a two-part message because there's too much stuff I need to tell you. But what's the thing, the number one thing that you need from Jesus today? David was a wise man. He said, "Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. Cast me not away from your presence and don't take your Holy Spirit from me." I want to tell you when he said it and why he said it. He said it after he committed the worst sin he had committed, as far as we know, in his life. After he had basically, you know, Lot had lain with Bathsheba, got her pregnant, got her husband killed, brings her into his place, and then as a result of that, the child dies. Whoa. And then the Bible has the nerve to say that David was a man after God's own heart. Seriously? I mean, I would find every copy of the Bible and erase it. That's shameful. That's disgusting. You lose your connection with God as being one after God's own heart. Let me help you with the reason why God didn't take that out of the Bible. Even though he suffered a lot for it, his family suffered a lot for it, his kingdom was in upheaval. But God made a commitment to David as he's made a commitment to you. Well, we often pursue things of the world only to discover the loss of what we truly need. And I'm still at the place of what you really need. We will spend hours binge watching TV shows and give every little bit of our time to feed that should be feeding our souls. We just kind of skim that off. Well, we must think carefully about the things that we believe are essential in our lives. Now, here's the part that's your homework till I get together with you the next time. We must think very carefully about the things that we believe are essential in our lives and write them down. For those of you that just don't write anymore, put them in your phone. Tap them with your finger into your phone. Put them under notes. I'm serious. You got homework. Think carefully about the things you believe are essential in your lives and write them down. Because you know something? The things that we write down, they will revisit us at a particular time, and then you'll have to say, do I really, 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 really need that? Really, really want that? As the worship team comes back here, and I know seems like I've cut you short, but I'm going to stop here because I can finish this at the next time because I've got enough to work with as we're preparing to really seek the Lord. We must decide and pursue the things that we want to be known for. To that list of things that you're going to write down, what is the number one thing that you'd like to be known for when you die? And you say, well, I don't really know. I guess I want to be honest or faithful or loyal or whatever. Because if fame gets on the page, you lost it. One thing that was told to me many years ago, and I believe it to this day, if you're looking for fame in this world, all fans are borrowed. They'll be in your camp this week. They'll be in somebody's camp the next week. They're not loyal. How about this? We must choose to promote things that we believe our life is about. So can I ask you, what kind of things are you promoting? What is your life all about? Are you promoting the kingdom of God? Or are you promoting the latest agenda you saw on TV? Here's the last one for today. We must find agreement between the Holy Spirit and our spirit of the things that Jesus desires our life to be about. I believe that we need to get in agreement with the Holy Spirit right now about what things your life is all about. Everybody bow your heads. Everybody do it. As your heads are bowed, as your eyes are closed, can you answer that question? Not for me, for you. What is your life all about? This story about Esau and this crime, as you would see it, the century or of history, happened in a moment. And it seemed, and it was, irreversible. Until I finish the story for you of how God redeems even the worst things in our life. I don't get to do it for you today. I'll do it in a few weeks next week. One of our missionaries is going to share. But I want your heart really pointed toward Jesus. And I want you to answer that question. What is your life all about? The bottom line, what are you serving? Who are you serving? Why are you serving? I'm going to pray, and then we're going to stand. We're going to sing a chorus of a song. And if you are the least bit distorted, confused, don't have an answer what your life is all about, you need to come to this altar today and say, Lord, I need to get some things straightened out because I really don't know. All I know is I've been reacting to things that happened in my life, and my life isn't where it should be. And the enemy's got me going here and there and doing this and doing that. And I find myself coming to church, lifting my hands, praising God, and by the time I hit the parking lot, I can't remember even what the preacher preached. By the time I get home in the afternoon, I'm back to the same old routine, flipping through the channels, flipping through my phone, trying to find something that would satisfy me. Jesus, would you allow us to be honest? Would you allow us to be open to the power of your Spirit? I'm going to ask people that are doing that research right now that said, you know, Pastor, I want to be honest and say, I really don't have a focus or my focus where it should be. And I don't care whether you claim to be a believer or not. That's not the issue. You need the Holy Spirit to come into your life and to focus you on the thing of what he's intended you for. As much as a person who has never committed to Jesus, if you're committed to Jesus and you don't know what your life is all about, you need to be at this altar today because you're just wasting time. You're getting high off the worship and high off this particular thing, but you don't even know what your life's all about. So with heads bowed and with eyes closed, you say, Pastor, I don't mind. I'm not going to be embarrassed, but I'm tired of living like this, and it's time to refocus my life. I'm willing to come today and to ask Jesus to bring me to the place where my life is counting for him. If that's you, lift your hand right now saying, yep, I need to do it. Do it. Do it right now. Lift up high where I can see it. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Don't be intimidated. Let Jesus do that. Leave it up there for just a moment because we're going to make the devil real, real mad. Okay, take your hand down. There's other people in here that say, you know what? I came through these doors today just kind of doubting that God had purpose and direction for me. And I'm on the outside of really trusting God with my life. I need Jesus inside of me right now to give my life direction and purpose. And I'm willing to submit to him because really, I'm not going anywhere. And I know that this message somehow resonates with me, and I want God to take control of my life. If that's you, lift your hand right now and say, I want it. I want it. Just lift it up, and Jesus will do it. I'll wait for you for a moment because if that's what you want, this is the place to get it. Yes, indeed. That's right, sir. God bless you.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.